No sin in Jesus. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? RSP. Day by day for 3 years, Christ's enemies had been trying to find some stain in his character. Satan had been seeking to overcome him but had found nothing in him by which to gain an advantage. Even the devils were forced to confess, "Thou art the Holy One of God." Jesus lived the law in the sight of heaven, in the sight of unfallen worlds, and in the sight of sinful men. He had spoken, unchallenged, words that from any other lips would have been blasphemy, "I do always those things that please him." The Jews did not recognize God's voice in the message of his Son. They thought themselves passing judgment on Christ, but they were pronouncing sentence on themselves. "He that is of God," said Jesus, "heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Many who delight to quibble, to criticize, seeking for something to question in the Word of God, think that this is evidence of independence of thought and mental acuteness. But hunting for sticks and straws betrays a narrow and earthly nature, a heart that is fast losing its capacity to appreciate God. As a flower turns to the sun, that the bright rays may touch it with tints of beauty, so will the soul turn to the Sun of Righteousness, that heaven's light may beautify the character with the graces of Christ. Jesus continued, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad." Abraham offered up the most earnest prayer that before his death he might behold the Messiah. And a supernatural light was given him. He was given a view of the divine sacrifice for sin. Of this sacrifice he had an illustration in his own experience. The command came to him, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him, for a burnt offering." Upon the altar he laid the son of promise, then with knife upraised to obey God he heard a voice from heaven saying, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me." This terrible ordeal was imposed on Abraham that he might see the day of Christ and realize the great love of God for the world, so great that he gave his only begotten son to raise it from its degradation. By making an entire surrender, Abraham was shown that in giving his only son to save sinners from eternal ruin, God was making a greater and more wonderful sacrifice than ever man could make. In God's provision of a sacrifice instead of Isaac, it was declared that no man could make expiation for himself. The pagan system of sacrifice was wholly unacceptable to God. No father was to offer up his son or daughter for a sin offering. The Son of God alone can bear the guilt of the world. Christ's words concerning Abraham conveyed to his hearers no deep significance. The Pharisees saw in them only fresh ground for caviling. They retorted with a sneer, as if they would prove Jesus to be a madman, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" With solemn dignity Jesus answered, "Verily, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Silence fell on the vast assembly. The name of God, given to Moses to express the idea of the eternal presence, had been claimed by this Galilean rabbi. He had announced himself to be the self-existent one, he whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Again the priests and rabbis cried out against Jesus as a blasphemer. Because he was, and avowed himself to be, the Son of God, they were bent on destroying him. Many of the people, siding with the priests and rabbis, took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple.